aunt and uncle with whom I grew up to go to high school, which was a gymnasium, a Zaal of Lyceum. And so I, after the elementary school, I went to that school after examination. And then the con-rector of the gymnasium division thought that I could do gymnasium, and I would like to do that. And also my aunt and uncle, they were happy with that. And so I did gymnasium. And then during the gymnasium, I had very good teachers there. One of them was Simons, my teacher Simons. He was a very good man in mathematics and physics and gave exciting teaching there. And also a teacher Mensink, who taught us chemistry, in addition to other teachers, of course, but these were the two who, well, gave me the idea I should do science. So I made a choice for the gymnasium PITA, and then after 6 years you do your final examination. And then the rector of the Zaal Lyceum came in and said that you could get forms to apply for grants to study at the University of Amsterdam. And so I did. And the headmaster, but also the teacher, were instrumental to lead me in the direction of studying chemistry at the University of Amsterdam. And then, of course, I started there. And then I followed the lectures of the professors there, and one of them was Professor Gerrit-Jan Hoyting, and he gave exciting lectures about chemical bonding, and I thought, I will do physical chemistry. But then he said, it is nice to do theory, but never forget the experiment. And if you do theory, sometimes you cannot get your hand on molecules you would like to study. And then I thought, I have to mix physical chemistry and organic chemistry. And therefore, I took the direction of physical organic chemistry with Professor Timon de Boer. A very good colleague, by the way, later on, of Professor Chuck DePue of the University of Colorado in Boulder. And then I started with my master's degree. I asked for a subject, of course, which would be a combination of theory and experiment. And a week later, I had to come back at the office of Professor de Boer. And then he gave me the subject of mass spectrometry. I didn't know about that field, but he asked me to work on a project to show that the McLaughlin rearrangement, known at that time for ketones, esters, acids, etc., but to show that was also working for 1-nitropropane. So I started my practical work there, but I had to label the 1-nitropropane in the different positions, and then with a single focusing mass spectrometer, mass spectra were taken, and then from the labeling, you could conclude that the McLaughlin rearrangement was indeed true for 1-nitropropane. And then I thought to go into industry, either Philips or Shell, that was logical at that time. But Professor de Boer said, no, you could do a PhD with me. So that I did. And he said, well, if you look at 1-nitropropane, you replace one of the hydrogens by an aromatic ring, and then you can study a lot. So you had to synthesize again these compounds and label them. And the fact that I got also all the intermediates, that made it an extensive study for the PhD thesis. Yeah, and then during my PhD, my predecessor left, went to industry, and then staff members started to convince me that I should apply for that job. But I had already interviews with Philips and Shell, and at that time I would have chosen for Philips. But after they have convinced me to apply for a job, that took 3 weeks. But in the end, they managed to convince me. I applied for that job with Professor de Boer and Professor Huisman, who were the director and co-director. They interchanged position every 2 years. And they were very happy that I was there. And they asked me, what do you think about how to do it for mass spectrometry? course, the intention of them was that I would take care of the analysis of organic compounds by mass spectrometry. And then I said, yeah, if you would like to do high qualified analysis, you need to do research. Yeah, and how do you see that then? Well, I said, I thought that you need then a group of at least 3 PhD students. Well, they said that can be arranged. So although I became head of the mass spectrometer division, but didn't have my PhD at that time, I already got from them the message, you will get a group with PhD students. Mm-hmm. In that way, my career at the university started.
I'm not sure that it's a path that a lot of people would follow, but you can give some generalized advice to younger people who want to get into science. So what would a young person who is interested in science, how would you suggest that they approach the subject, or how would you suggest that they go ahead and develop their interest in science and in becoming a scientist?
I think if you are interested to do science, then do it. And don't think about, is it useful to go in that field of science? Do I get a job in industry or at a university? Simply do it what you want. That holds for any subject.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, depending on during taking and going to a university and taking courses there and going to lectures, then you will find the most interesting things in which you would like to work further. And so do your best, never think about what the future will bring,
mm-hmm.
and you will become then qualified in the end. And I dare to say that if you are enthusiastic, that's the most important thing, that in the end you will always find a job which suits you. Perhaps not in the field in which you will do your master's degree or PhD study, but the most important thing is that you have done something you like to do, and you get by this also a very good academic training. Mm-hmm. That is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I always said also to my PhD students, if you would like to go on in mass spectrometry, is okay, but sometimes that is not possible at that moment, but you are equipped enough with an academic training that you can also do other things.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of leads into another topic that I wanted to talk briefly with you about, and that is about mentoring. You were obviously mentored in your career, and I think you've discussed with us already those events that led you to develop into the scientific field. But what are your thoughts about how to mentor other people? You've obviously had a large number of students work for you in postdocs. What kind of guiding rules did you use when you were mentoring these younger people?
Let me first say that there were PhD students, students who did a master's degree came to me for a PhD. The first question was to them, do you have a project in mind?
Mm-hmm.
If they would have a project in mind, that would be nice then, because that is their own ideas, and then that will be very good for them to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
I can mention one of them, like Noel Venema, but he was an older student, so he had a training which was not that he could immediately go to university, but so he entered the university at a later stage of his life. He was not old, but at least so experienced that mm-hmm. he could say, I would like to do this and that. So then it is easy. And then, of course, you look at your own experience, whether that is a useful approach. But frequently they said, we have no idea. So then you gave a project.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, the best thing as advice to start that project is first to go to the library, find out what is known.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can set up things, how to do the project, and many times they came back and then said, we cannot find much about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, that is also the reason why I thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is the well, you have to come up now, how would you like to perform that project? So do you have ideas, planning, etc.? What is the best method? Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm available to give advice, but please think also yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And that worked out quite well, because I think you should not guide them that everything is planned by you, as mm-hmm. supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
No, they should plan themselves and find out themselves that they can lead to successful results.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have had PhD students that you could see after 2 months there was no progress. It was difficult. Now, I'm not unhappy when there are difficulties, because you will also have that later in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would say a few months fighting with the problem, no problem at all. But then at a certain point in time, you have to change. Otherwise, it will stick.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, you try to help. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And it has worked out quite successful. And I must say, also the PhD students, which were very good in my case, which I had, all have made it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But not all of them in mass spectrometry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's also not a problem, because I said, you have an academic training now, so you can do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, is it things to be useful, what you do? I always said, the fact that we have an academic training, that is already important for the society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. So, you have been interacting with a large number of your peers in the field is, and obviously I think there's some competition involved in different groups working on kind of the same problem, trying to get beat the other one to getting their answer. What do you think about competition in science? Do you think it's a good thing? Or?
Yeah, competition is good, but it should not be an unproductive competition. I mean, it can be a competition that, well, to beat. Of course, you would like to be the first,
mm-hmm.
but it is not always possible. So you have to accept that. Hey? But I think competition means that you would like to speed up your research, get results. But also, sometimes we found out that others were working on the same subject.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, why don't we cooperate?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. instead of fighting, well, it is not fighting, of course, but I mean, to have such a competition. So I have had also many cooperation because of that,
mm-hmm.
finding out what the other did, and then in a friendly way, we made progress in that way. Of course, that is important in science, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Progress.
Progress.
During your career, I think you've had the opportunity to interact with a number of women in the field, either as students or also as equals in other laboratories around the world. So what is your opinion or thought about the place of women in science?
I must say that I have been in a very fortunate position that I've had many female PhD students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's first important for science, but also for, let's say, in the industrial world, so in addition to the academic world, it should not be only a man business,
okay.
Not on that line,
mm-hmm.
Because also I can say female persons, they bring in additional things how men are operating, yeah? And I think sometimes the creativity of women is very good.
Mm.
And they are also more precise if I look at interpretation of mass spectra.
Mm-hmm.
Men do it in a, well, sloppy way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But they are more precise. That I've experienced during my career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've had a fairly long career in the field. What do you see the largest, most important changes in the field of mass spectrometry over your career?
The largest changes is that it started in physics and chemistry, of course. physics remains a very important part of mass spectrometry because of development of instrumentation methodologies. Chemistry remains very important to understand what is going on in the mass spectrometer. If you do collision activation experiments or other kind of experiments, you will observe signals in the mass spectra that you have to think about. I am not against databases. If you can use that, yes. But in the end, there are frequently occasions where you have to use your brains to get to understanding what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the changes, of course, has been that it has gone from, it started in physics originally, came into chemistry, and now it is more in the biochemical mm-hmm. field, medical field, life science, if they call it. And I think that is a very good thing for mass spectrometry. But also realize in chemistry, the molecules which are studied are supramolecular systems, so very large systems, held together by non-covalent interactions. I've been a guest professor officially for 4 years at the University of Twente with Professor David Reinhout, a colleague of mine, and they were working on supramolecular assemblies. And these systems are also very important for microelectronics, optoelectronics, magnetic material, catalysts. So I would say the life sciences is very important. You see progress is made. You hope also that it will pay off in the medical research. I noticed that there are hospitals who are using more and more mass spectrometry to get information which is helping to fight diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with regard to materials, then there you see that chemistry has changed over all the years, that they can handle these interesting systems and they can be used. And you know, new materials, we fly planes nowadays, but the material from which they are made is quite different from many years ago.
Yeah. To
lower weight, lower fuel use, etc. So I'm not saying we should focus on one direction, we should focus on more different directions. That is also the nice thing about mass spectrometry, because it is applicable in so many fields.
Mm-hmm.
It is really multidisciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This probably leads into, or even as you maybe responded to this last question, is what do you see the future of mass spectrometry?
The future of mass spectrometry, I see that more and more miniaturization is occurring.
Mm.
Simpler instruments. Yeah, what is simple? But at least, if I may mention that this beginning of this week I was in the lab of Graham Cooks from the Purdue University, whom I know very well, and they have developed, of course, their DAISY, but now also paper spray. And it is a very simple setup, and they use a lot of chemistry to get the ionization method they apply, that you get very good results. And if you see the detection part of it, it is becoming miniaturized. And I see, and that was also the message which Graham transferred to me, and I agree with that, there is in the future a fact that you will see more and more simple mass spectrometry-based techniques which everyone can operate in organic chemistry labs, in clinical chemistry, in hospitals. I mean, it will be a very normal method accepted by many disciplines.
So it's just going to keep getting applied more and more in more different areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Well, I think that gets it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, looks good.
Okay.
Let's turn this guy off here. And I pushed the right button to stop it.
Delete it.
Yes. No.